All right, thank you, Isaiah. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 3. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 3. I want to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach tonight. I don't take it lightly. I know I've been preaching for a few years now, but I'm so thankful for this opportunity every year to preach the word here from the pulpit. Mark chapter number 4, here Jesus is giving the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 3. Mark 4, 3, the Bible says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield forth and that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. So here we see, so every parable that Jesus gives is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Here Jesus is given the earthly story, and beginning in verse number 14, he gives the heavenly meaning behind it. Verse number 14, he says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The title of the message tonight would be, "Where is your fruit?" Before we begin, let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Father, I do thank you for just this opportunity you've given me to speak your word, Lord. Help me not to get in the way, and help me to give exactly what you want me to give, Lord. Be with all those out here tonight, that they will get something from it, and do what you would have them to do tonight. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So here we see in this parable, every parable Jesus gives is representative factors within each of it, within each parable. We see with this parable that the sower is sowing the seed. That seed is the word of God. And he's sowing it onto the ground, and the ground is the hearts of all people listening. So just as a farmer sows seed and plants seed and expects it to grow, in the same way, God, when he gives his word and he expects it to grow and to produce fruit in our lives. This fruit that God wants is mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are things the world does not have, but God wants to produce and to grow in our life. But how the word and grows up in our lives is dependent on the state of our hearts. Tonight, we're going to look at the four different types of ground that are mentioned here and how that corresponds with what the state of our heart is. So firstly, we see the wayside. Look in verse number 15. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So the seed is sown out to this wayside, and the wayside is not open and does not receive that seed. Just like this wayside, many of you in here today might not be saved. Maybe you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many have said it already, and I'm going to say it again. I beg you and I implore you to do that tonight. There's no better decision you can make in your life than to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will not regret it. Secondly, not only see the wayside, we see the stony ground. Look in verse number 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And these are they. So we see the stony ground. The seed is sown out to the stony ground. The stony ground is open and receives the seed, but because of the hardness of that ground, the seed is not able to root and root deep within that seed. And as a result, when the sun and the pressure beat down on that plant, it withers away. As the Bible says, they are offended. Unfortunately, today we have many Christians that live stony, that are the stony Christians, the stony ground Christians, that have not surrendered and have a hard heart toward the things of the Lord. Many of them will say, oh God, I'm thankful that you saved me. I'm thankful that you gave me you gave me your word and that you gave me the gospel in your heart, in my heart, but you can't have my job. You can't have my finances. You can't have my time. Those are mine. You can't have those. And many times Christians won't surrender. He gives a warning to these Christians that those who live with the hard heart and the stony ground, it says they will, when the persecution and affliction comes, and it will come, when it comes, they will wither away. Thirdly, we see the thorny ground, verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So this seed, it's thrown out to the ground, and the ground receives it. It's able to take root because it's not a rocky ground. But as it grows up among these thorns, and these thorns choke the word, and they steal the nutrients from that seed, enough to where the seed is not able to produce the fruit that it was meant to produce. And unfortunately, when that plant does not produce the fruit, it's no better than the thorns around it. Unfortunately, we have so many Christians today that are just the same way. We might have Christians that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and they surrender to God, but they get so caught up in the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things that they let these things corrupt them, and they become just like the thorns of the world, and they do not produce the fruit that God wants in their lives. So these are all the types of hearts that God doesn't want us to have, all the types that don't produce fruit in our lives. But fourthly, let's look at the good ground. Verse number 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So when the seed is sown out to this type of ground, when the seed is sown out to this heart, the seed is sown out to this ground, it's open, it receives the seed. It's not hard, and it lets the seed burrow deep and get its roots. It's able to grow up unhindered. It's able to produce the fruit that it was meant to produce. And the awesome thing about the seed is that fruit is full of seeds that is able to grow and reproduce and create even more plants and even more fruit. We need Christians today that have this good ground, that have this good heart for what the Lord has called them to do, who will stay in the Word and do what God has them to do and produce this fruit of the Spirit in their lives. So let me ask you a simple question tonight. What is the state of your heart tonight? I know we're coming to the end of this service, and we've heard a lot of messages, but what is the state of your heart? Are you that wayside ground that has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have not done so today, I beg you and I implore you, we've all said it, and I'm going to say it again. Do that tonight. There is no better decision you can make in your life than to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. God will give you a home in heaven, and you can know for sure that when you die, you will spend eternity with God. Maybe you are a Christian, but you've been that stony ground. You've had a hard heart, and you've not surrendered to the Lord. God says the hard times are coming, and when they do, you will not be able to stand on your own. Maybe there's some Christians tonight that need to say, Lord, I've had a hard heart to the things of you. I've not surrendered to you. Lord, whatever you want, take my job, take my finances, take my family, Lord. Whatever you want is yours. Or maybe you've been that Christian who has been among the thorns. You've not, maybe you've let the cares of this world and the distractions steal your love and steal your time and steal your attention. Maybe you need tonight say, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm getting rid of all the distractions and I'm focusing on you and I'm doing what you would have me to do. So I'll end with just a simple question tonight. Where is your fruit? But this time I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We heard a lot of messages tonight. We heard messages on, but one of the most common themes we heard tonight was on salvation. I believe every single message touched on it at least a little bit here and there. And I would just ask, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around tonight, if you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you would say, Brian, I don't know where I'd go when I die. I don't know if I know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know if I were to die tonight that I would spend eternity to heaven. No one's looking around tonight. I just want to pray for you. Nobody's going to come to you. But if you would just slip up your hand and put it right back down, saying, Brian, I don't know where I would go when I die. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you just slip up your hand, put it right back down, no one's looking around tonight. And for the Christians in here tonight, we've heard all kinds of messages, all kinds of topics directed at us, whether that's witnessing, whether it's persevering for Christ, whatever it is, you know how God's working in your heart, and I pray that you would do what God would have you to do tonight. Before we jump into the invitation, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless the invitation time. Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the message, and we thank you for the work that you're going to do and that you already have done in hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you would work in their heart and help them to see their need of salvation and to accept you before it is too late, Father. We love you, Lord. We ask this all in his precious name. Amen. And as the piano, let's remain with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And as the piano begins to play softly, if God's working in your heart and God's speaking in your heart, would you come tonight, do what God has for you to do, and make the decision that he has.